Hello and welcome to Coyote Radio TV. Hippie Coyote here. I just normally call myself Coyote. I didn't become the Hippie Coyote until 2007 when I was doing podcasts and I did the actzen.com website, which is a self-help, take-your-brain-apart website. And at the end of that website, I realized, well, I'm no longer Richard O'Connor. I'm Richard Del Connor, my legal name. And I'm no longer just the Coyote. I'm the Hippie Coyote. Because being now a person of the internet by 2007, if you did a search for the Coyote, well, I was not the first thing to come up. So the Hippie Coyote, then I did. Now, somebody else had the H-I-P-P-I-E coyote.com. So I ended up with the H-I-P-P-Y Coyote. So there we are. I'm the Hippie Coyote, spelled with a Y. And Coyote Radio TV has been something I imagined since the 80s when I was in UCLA film school. And I always thought it'd be really cool to have a station of commercials. The original vision of Coyote Radio TV was for me to pick my favorite commercials and only play those and music videos, whatever, you know, I thought was really funny and cool. And that was it. That was the idea for the original, very original Coyote Radio TV. Since then, it's gone into all kinds of other possibilities. And now I'm just finally building a website that really is just a shadow of my imagination. It doesn't have all the interactivity and bells and whistles and videos and, you know, able to, I don't know, it doesn't connect the way I want it to yet. But maybe by the time you're seeing this, it's more interactive and a lot more cool. Anyway, today's feature song is going to be Kill the Spider. Now, Kill the Spider was written, believe it or not, in the 1970s. I actually wrote that sometime in the 70s, and just it was just a half a song, and I had it in a cassette tapes and just threw it in a box and went on with my life. And it was one of those songs that I never pulled back out for my bands to perform. I forgot about it. And it was actually after the year 2000, maybe 2002 or 3, when we were living in Tujunga, and my daughter, Caitlin, was going through a lot of my cassettes and playing them and stuff, and she discovered it somehow. And she discovered, hey, Daddy, this is a cool song, Kill the Spider. And I go, oh, well, yeah, I think all my songs are cool. But the fact she thought it was cool made it more exceptional. So I checked it out and thought, okay, yeah, you're right, this is. So I thought, okay, I'll make a recording of it, because I don't think I'd ever had a recording. Or if I did, I think I did actually find that, well, she had that recording, a very simplistic, I just wrote the song and I wanted to maintain the idea of it. And it had some cool riffs in it, so I'm glad I recorded it, because I would have never been able to remember the da 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 bum bum da 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 bum bum da 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 bum da bum da bum 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 da 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 da. But that riff was something that was part of the original inspiration of that song. So I'm glad she dug that out. And so I don't even remember the inspiration for it, probably a girl. But anyway, when I had pulled it out at that time, I thought, okay, I'll get it. And I finally got it and I could sing it. And it was a really aggressive song. And the kids liked it when I would scream the vocals. And so it was kind of it went over big in the family. And I used to sing my son to sleep every day, both my kids. But at that time, I had my son, Rory. And so he'd take naps during the year around 2003 to 2005, and before he went into kindergarten. But anyway, I would sing songs to put my kids to sleep. And Caitlin, if I was playing anybody else's music, she preferred Led Zeppelin and Hendrix. Now, my son, he preferred different types of heavy stuff. Meredith Brooks, I think. I would play along with a couple of those songs on my bass. And that's what he liked. He liked when I played bass. So I could actually, even when we were in Utah, back when he was still just a couple years old, I would put him to sleep by playing bass. I can remember him being in a, we even had an automated rocker, one of those things with a motor on it. So it'd kind of like swing him forward and backward and he could take a nap. And I'd play my bass while he was doing that. And that's how he'd go to sleep and I'd be playing my bass. And, the song, there's a bunch of songs I wrote just playing for my kids. And as a result of playing and coming up with some really cool riffs and ideas, I wrote some songs just serenading my children. So anyway, Kill the Spider, I don't remember the original inspiration, which was good, because that meant it was kind of open for interpretation for me. What could it symbolize and what could it mean? Well, when I became a Freemason some years later, from 2007 to 2014, I realized Kill the Spider would be representative of the killing of Hiram Abiff, the architect of the original King Solomon's Temple. And he was murdered in the temple. So Kill the Spider became the song that the bad guys were singing. There was three of them who murdered him. And so that became the song for that story. And I wrote this rock opera. The Kung Fu Cowboy, level one and level two, evolved. And there's a book called Kung Fu Cowboy Original Draft. That book, you can actually get it. And it shows the evolution of those songs and the stories I was writing to go to the songs and how it just kind of evolved into being my story to Hiram Abiff's story. You mean, and the story of Freemasonry. So it's a really cool song in that sense. And it's got this now embedded in that rock opera of the King Solomon's Temple. The second part of that rock opera, well, it's actually one big rock opera. It's 36 songs, but I split it into two 18-song albums, part one and part two. The part one is when it includes Kill the Spider. And then it ends right after that with King Solomon feeling, you know, missing his friend, the architect. And then the second part is called Third Degree Master Mason, and it actually starts with the execution of the three men who killed Hiram Abiff. So that whole rock opera in the second part starts with a execution, a bloody execution in public. So anyway, the Kill the Spider. So yeah, it represents now Hiram Abiff being chased and killed in the temple by these three second degree fellow craft masons who were building King Solomon's Temple. And there's a whole story behind that, which I know a lot about. It's kind of factual. In fact, the actual whole rock opera includes a love triangle between Hiram Abiff and one of those fellow craft masons who killed him. And they both were sharing they were both in love with the same woman. So I built that into the rock opera story. So there's a romance in there. So it didn't have to be mine, because the story actually started off with my wife, of course, leaving me for another guy. So it was nice to actually put it in the third person and make it much less personal. But the songs that do seem personal actually are, and I wrote them from my own experience, but then I could put them into the rock opera and they sound very genuine because, well, they are. So anyway, this is Kill the Spider. And from the rock opera, from the fourth Kung Fu Cowboy album. Now, the American Zen Buddhist Journey was completed in 2014. Yeah, in 2014 on Memorial Day. And it's called the Memorial Day album. And that album is the eighth level of American Zen. Now, when I created American Zen, I mapped out this whole thing in terms of spiritual enlightenment. I'd been studying Buddhism since I'd been at UCLA and started Kung Fu in 1980, which is a Buddhist martial art. So I had been learning a lot about Buddhism and building this kind of my own personal viewpoint, of course, of Buddhism and what it meant to me and what I thought it should mean and all the different flavors and trying to focus my flavor of being the original Zen Buddhism and the original Buddhism as opposed to the Tibetan and the Japanese or any other type of flavors of Buddhism that developed since the original Buddhism 2,500 years ago. So here I am making this album. I recorded number 7, which is End of the Line, which was me recorded. It was recorded in my car. I was living in my truck, my Tacoma truck, and in fact, using this Zoom recorder I'm recording on right now. And so it's a 4-track recorder, and I could record the tracks on that. And so that's what I did. I recorded that album. The Memorial Day album was actually, I went to bed that night with this interesting poem about a person talking to their son. And I don't know, I guess I could... Who cares? I mean, I released this album so many years ago. Warning, I'm going to tell the end of the story, whatever they call that when you reveal something in this movie. But at the very end of the poem, it's called Father to Son Poem. He's talking to his son about becoming a soldier. Well, at the end of the poem, you realize that it's actually a father talking to his son's ghost who has died in battle. I'm going to get all choked up thinking about it. Sorry. So anyway, I can't tell that story. All the album is, well, real. I started it. the Memorial Day album. So anyway, I went to bed with that kind of poem in my mind for some reason. It was after midnight and Memorial Day, I guess. I wasn't really thinking about it. I don't celebrate it or do anything on Memorial Day, but this particular Memorial Day, I seem to be susceptible to a spiritual intervention. And I woke up in the morning with a half a dozen voices in my head, you know, telling me these stories and showing me these war images. It's like, what the heck, you know, because I wasn't watching movies or videos or anything or YouTube or anything at that time. So these images came from nowhere. These stories came from nowhere. And it's too bad that I didn't become more famous or, you know, do some sort of a tell the story sooner, because I can actually tell you all the images. I can still see some of them. One of the guys who was in pictures of home, he was thinking of his home, and I can still almost picture his home, the gate, the garage, the colors, the position, everything about it. I had this image of this one particular home. And if we were to narrow it down to where I could kind of tell when he actually, I didn't realize till later that he died. I had all these stories, and then they helped me sing the stories, which was why I thought, okay, well, it's just a rough draft, you know. And I kind of let each character, after I'd recorded the songs and wrote the songs to them telling me the stories, these war stories, I kind of let them sing through me. And they didn't come out that good, I thought, you know, because it wasn't really me trying to do my best. I was trying to let them sing through me or kind of inspire it. I wasn't really totally willing to say I was possessed, but at the same time, I realized that, well, I'm either being very, very creative or I'm actually communicating with the spirit world. And I was willing to accept the fact that, well, okay, maybe I am communicating with the spirit world and, you know, that's okay. I didn't mind. So I was a conduit for their stories, if that's the true story. So anyway, I let them sing their songs. So they're all sung kind of different, and they're all kind of sung emotionally. I break up and cry on two of them, and because they're very emotional stories. I mean, these stories meant nothing to me, but through them, you know, they became very emotional. That's why I started to break up, because I can't think of those stories without thinking of their view of the stories, being them in the stories and crying. And so I'm very emotionally attached to those songs, which is one reason I'm happy not to play the songs or record them. But I really want to finish that album and move past it and get on with my life. And it's a great album. And it's not anti-war. It's not like these guys were saying regret. They're just telling me stories about being at war. And they're amazing little stories that I couldn't have created all by myself, I don't think. I mean, I'm a creative person. If I did create all these things, you know, then I think I should get credit for being a very, very creative person. And I'm willing to accept that. So anyway, Memorial Day album. Okay, so how did I get off on that? Oh, well, I was saying that, actually, Kill the Spider, the song for today. Let's get back to that. Oh, I was saying that the whole journey was completed. Well, when I created the American Zen journey and I mapped it out, I realized that the eighth journey had to be some sort of bridge to the afterlife, whatever that was going to be. And I was raised Christian and became an atheist and then became a Buddhist and I'm a scientist. And I didn't know what to think. I was willing to accept all kinds of possibilities. Oh, and when I was at the Lakota Sioux, I actually traveled to a heaven on my vision quest. I actually saw a vision of heaven. And one other time, maybe twice, I've actually seen someone else draw a picture of the exact same thing that I saw. And I saw these pictures after my vision. So I think that a couple of other people have seen the same heaven that I did there. So anyway, I did have kind of a spiritual experience before this. So, but that was, what are we talking? 10, 20 years earlier. So anyway, I mapped out this journey, and I wasn't sure what that last thing was going to be, that connection to the afterlife, but I knew that the eighth level had to be that. So after I'd recorded the Memorial Day album, I realized, oh, hey, there's the eighth level. I did it. And so the seventh and eighth level were recorded on the Zoom recorder I'm looking at right now in 4-track. And the whole journey's done, the whole eight-level American Zen journey. So somehow at Coyote Radio TV, I want to have a special way of portraying that journey as one part of the Coyote Radio TV, whatever it is, show, website, program, whatever it is. I would like to actually tell that story. and have all these songs now in a big long order telling this story of spiritual development. The first level, level one, was having a family. That was a big start for my life. And then the second one was battling with religion. That was the next level of enlightenment, going against the Mormons. The third level was accepting all religions and being accepted. The Mormons finally did accept me and actually gave me a lot of support. So that was the third level, is accepting all races, religions, nationalities. So the level of compassion. We could say that level three is actually the level of Buddhism, of compassion. Number four is the Kung Fu Cowboy, where you're basically going out and, like the Pied Piper, sharing your wisdom and helping people as much as you can, as kind of like a traveling hero, you know. A homeless hero. But I wasn't really, well, I became homeless after that. But level four was recorded in the last years of my family life. And then level five and six are the journey, my Hanblechia to the Rosebud, the reservation of the Lakota Sioux. I was invited by the chief for my vision quest there. And so that's the five and six are actually the stories of that. And after I'd recorded that, those were actually released in cassette. And I gave those to the Native American. I tried to get them on an American Native American record label. And then during the 90s, which is actually when I recorded that, they actually had several of those in America. But all three of them said they could not release my album because it had too much spirituality on it. They were still holding to the fact that if anything had to do with a ceremony or you couldn't video a ceremony, you couldn't record an actual ceremony, that was considered to be, you know, a sin, or just, you know, that was illegal in the Native American world. So my album wasn't banned, but they could not release it and they would not accept it, you know, to be an album because it had too much Native American details of ceremonies, real ceremonies. So those albums were only released in cassette for a couple of years, and that's it. And so the whole journey's done. So four, then it goes to the Native American, five and six, and then I became homeless, and then that was seven, and then eight is, well, seven is actually being the Kung Fu Cowboy roadman, traveling around as a roadie, stagehand, and then eight, I was still living in my car, and that's when I recorded that thing. So that's the whole spiritual journey of American Zen, from just starting out with a kid to actually, you know, talking about people and war and the afterlife and connecting to all that. So it's an amazing spiritual journey with all those different things in the story. And Coyote Radio TV has got to somehow expose and present and make that available and accessible and inspirational to people. Because very few people that I know have ever had spiritual events, lives, or enlightenment, despite my throwing all kinds of Buddhism at them, and Taoism and Confucianism. But yeah, it's not a common thing for people to want to even be enlightened. But that doesn't mean that I shouldn't still do it. Because I know some people will, and even the people who don't want it will hopefully be somehow inspired by the stories and the way that I dealt with it and these things happened. All right, there you are. The American Zen Buddhist journey is complete. And this is Kill the Spider from Level 4, Part 1, half of the album. And this is the murdering of Hiram Abiff. Kill the Spider by American Zen.
Noise could be crawling as you slip through the window. I guess I really don't mind you being alive, but in my house you now will die. Kill the spider, the last one I knew was a liar. She stabbed me when my back was turned. Poison traps or slow death for you. Don't need no help or plan. No tissue to squish you. I won't miss you as I match you with the palm of my hand. Kill the fire. plan. No tissue, just wish you, I won't miss you. As I match you with the palm of my hand.